Sue Semerow is in the house today, FSU women's basketball head coach. She'll be with me here in the first hour. Don't miss that. And then in the second hour, Tim Lenefelt with another edition of the Lenefelt Sports Report. And Drew Tillman, Amelia Tillman, talking about the Songwriters Festival tomorrow afternoon at Tallahassee Museum. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done. Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Thank you for joining me again, my dear friend, for this wonderful edition of Tallahassee Talks, when we have Coach Sue Semerow, longtime Florida State women's basketball head coach, marvelous winning record, great legacy that in her own right that she has created for all of us, for herself, for her fans, her teams, all of the players, man, all the women that have played for this remarkable coach and have gone on to do great things one way or the other, either on the basketball court as professional players or out there in life. We're going to talk with her about her life view of how it kind of works, you know, how you win the game, but how you play the game and what it means to be in the game. So if you are in tune with us on a regular basis, you know that Sue is a huge contribution to the works of many charitable organizations. She stands in there for so many different groups, and no less so for our Tallahassee Food Challenge, and we'll talk about that. Towering figure when it comes to how she inspires all of us with her personal life, the things she considers important, how she encourages people to give out their very best, leave nothing on the table, so to speak. I mean, just not hold back. You know, give it everything you got. And that's one of the reasons why she's very good at what she does with these young women who come to her, and how much she contributes to their well-being, the growth that they experience as students, as people, as players. It's a remarkable thing. So we're going to dig in with her a little bit. And having found a common interest, I think, in contributing to the welfare of others, each of us in our own way and within our own realm, trying to do good, straighten up and fly right. Sue Semerow, class act, any way you look at it. She's contributed to so many different organizations, and when we talk about the Tallahassee Food Challenge, her contribution there as well reminds me to tell you that the food challenge is on now and has been for a number of weeks, as we continue to remind you to give generously. Take the challenge, fill a bowl, feed the hungry. That's our mantra as we go forward. And that's simply because nearly 62,000 people in Leon County live in poverty. And those numbers are hard numbers, man. There's very little that you need to do to get in touch with how challenging, the problem may be affecting you personally. You may be one of those people, but it's challenging, and it's affecting thousands and thousands of people right here in our hometown. During the months of May and June, these food charities run low. We've made that point. But we have the opportunity to turn that around, and we take that challenge by giving generously to any of the food charities that you can find listed at the Tallahassee Food Challenge website. And it is just as you would expect, TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. Lots of good information there for you to learn more about the size of the challenge and what we can do in contributing. Now, the long-term solutions, well, there are lots of answers there, and there's lots of discussion that needs to continue. Part of our effort is to keep the conversation alive. You know, people don't all of a sudden stop getting hungry, right? Hunger doesn't take a holiday, we say. Well, so we've got to continue to look at the long-term solutions. How do we move people away from or out of a state of poverty or entrenched income restrictions or homelessness, for that matter? So, and those solutions, we're convinced, are within our means. We have the ability to do this. And, you know, there's no question about the fact that we are challenged on a number of levels with a lot of different social issues in the Tallahassee metro area, of course. Economic advancement, our growth as a community, economically speaking, yes, is of primary concern. The question remains, how do we make sure that more and more of us are participating in that growth? And those that are actually then disenfranchised from that growth process ends up being a sort of counterweight. You know, there's a kind of loss of potential there, because we're talking about children and adults who otherwise could be contributive to this growth that we're talking about, or contributive to helping us create broader, stronger communities, to contribute to the general culture that we enjoy, whether it's in art, entertainment, science, athletics, you name it. I mean, how many of these folks are left out because they just don't have what they need to be a part of that? And the most rudimentary question of all, they're hungry. And when you're hungry, nothing works. What food charity officials call food insecurity. Right. So we spent the whole show last Saturday. We were live coming to you from Gain Street Pies to bring this message. Well, I'm going to bring it to you again. You're tired of hearing of it? Okay, well, do me a favor. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. Do something about it. If you give $10 to Second Harvest, they can buy $40 worth of food. So there's your contribution. Don't just do that this week. Do it every month. Do it as often as you can possibly afford to do so. Because in the process, while we lift these people up in their immediate circumstances, we buy ourselves some time. Much needed time to help solve the larger questions. And they are complex. Yes, they are. You got people at city and county level government. You've got private citizens. You've got all kinds of leadership stepping up. People with Florida Chamber, United Way. We've had a bunch of them on the show in the last several weeks talking about this very common problem. So when I read an op-ed piece from DeVoe Moore, and he's talking about the Children's Council is just another big tax, a big government tax, he referred to it. Well, okay. Well, when did taxes become, in and of themselves, a problem? I mean, the notion that a tax itself is somehow inherently flawed doesn't make sense to me. Question is whether the tax, in its application, is being applied equally across the population, and is it being distributed then, the outcome of that taxation being distributed in a manner that is most productive? So this Children's Services Council that John Daly has proposed is intended to bring awareness to all of these charities that serve this dependent population, especially children in our community, who themselves are the victims of. So, yeah, okay, so maybe it does involve, as part of that solution, a rethinking of taxation. Maybe it involves the formation of a children's services council. Maybe it involves the manner in which private business has opportunity to participate in a way that takes that burden off of the public dollar. So lots of ways in which we can address the challenge, the questions, won't happen unless we continue the conversation. That's what we're trying to do here, and that's why I'm glad you've tuned in. You stay with me.
Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Florida State Athletics, if it is nothing else, is engaging, compelling, drawing us closer and closer to that ultimate question. Why is Sue Semrau still with us? She is amazing. She is a coach who has turned out a record number of wins. Her players love her. The fans love her. And I love her. I'm here to tell you right now, folks, I think Sue Semrau is awesome. And that's not because she's just sitting here looking at me, wondering, where are you going with this? But because it's not often we get to have her come and sit and just talk. I mean, this is a woman who half the time is running up and down the court, sometimes barefoot. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about barefootedness. She is a giant. Among her players and among her colleagues and the staff members. She's a giant in the world of charitable work, and we're going to get to know more about that as we talk with Coach Sue. How are you, my friend?
So happy to be here. Just love what you guys are doing. Love the opportunity to just sit back and talk.
It's a good thing, isn't it?
It is a good
talking thing. Is good.
Tallahassee Talks is good.
You like it? We're not paying you for this. You realize, right?
I know that.
This is all just you. For those who don't know, Sue and I have this rather unique connection in that we both grew up in the Seattle area. More so, we were within blocks of one another as kids and didn't know it. I'm much older. We'll just say that right up front.
No, don't even try it.
Yeah.
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 You can pretend all you want.
Okay. So... But we both went to Brookside Elementary School, which is remarkable. Now, I started to ask you this. You were there from kindergarten on, or?
No, actually, Brookside was built when, I think I moved during that time. I went to a school called Bryant Elementary School out in Seattle.
Okay.
And then my family moved, and I want to say it was only fifth, sixth grade.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Then straight up to Morgan Junior High School.
Right.
And then Shorecrest High School. Uh-huh.
Yeah, go Highlanders.
I know, right? It's crazy. My niece and nephew graduate from there. My sister's at Kellogg as a teacher. It's just roots back in Seattle.
I loved growing up in what is called Lake Forest Park, right? Mm-hmm. That whole area.
Yes.
And for those uninitiated, it's on the north, we'd say north end of the Seattle metro, and it's right on the shores of Lake Washington and such. In those days, there was a huge commitment among educators in the Shoreline School District, as it was, and I think it still is, to have a very balanced approach. art, sports, right in there with science and math. And these days we talk about STEM. But there was a massive commitment to industrial arts.
Yes.
So I went through middle school in wood shop and mechanics and power mechanics and, yeah.
You didn't metal take OMEC?
I had to take OMEC too. It was required. My
Good.
Ninth grade, yeah.
Yeah.
There was some changes going on where guys could take home ec and girls could take shop, and that was all good. Most of the stuff that I know about being handy around the house, I learned in middle school.
Wow.
And my colleagues, younger than I, don't know that stuff. They don't know what an internal combustion engine is, right? Or how to fix a lawnmower. Woefully, I think we've seen the same sort of demise among physical education or with physical education as an enterprise. Does that occur to you? Do you feel like that's the case? Or?
Yeah, I really do. I think people now trust that if young people are interested in sports, then they will join some type of club outside of the school. Mm. Or have some type of personal trainer as a young child. The physical education classes that I go to now as I'm recruiting, oftentimes there's kids just sitting in the stands and a few people out shooting baskets. And it's very different. Now, I know that there's a lot of physical educators that are trying to make that work, but... Mm. It is different, and I think, again, it's because this Generation Z that has a screen in front of their face 7.5 hours a day. It's a different time. It's a different era.
It is a different time, and that attitude then about activity outside of school then puts that back on parents. Both parents are working, so there's that whole phenomenon, well, I've got to get my kid to soccer practice.
That's right.
So there's that going on. So the impact on family is immediate.
And expensive. You have to pay to be part of these clubs. You have to pay now to play in high school. That's something we never had to experience.
Right.
So, you know, I understand that, you know, things are expensive and you make choices now.
The thing I liked about... And I mean, I hated it at the time, but I liked the fact that even though I had no athletic prowess, I mean, there was no way. I might have played football, right? I could have. But I was about this size when I was in middle school. Mm. But my PE teacher made me run track.
Mm.
I hated running track.
Yeah, I bet.
And I would be one of those kids they were dragging at the end of that mile. You know, just, come on, you can do this.
Oh,
man, my
God,
yeah. And of course, again, you had to try. You had to do everything. You did weightlifting, didn't matter. Track, you did it.
Yep.
And there was that sort of push then. Come on, push yourself and see what you can do with this. We don't do that.
Well, you know, I think we stay in things that are more comfortable, and that's even part of my challenge is to make sure that we make our players uncomfortable. Mm. You get them out of their comfort zone because that's what happens when you're in a game. That's what happens when you're in a job and things don't go your way. And so, it's very easy in our time and in America to be comfortable, and it's very important that we learn how to get out of our comfort zone.
Mm. Talking with Sue Semrau. If I have to tell you this, then where have you been living? She is the women's basketball head coach, Florida State University, has been for how many years now?
21.
Come on.
Yeah.
21 years.
It's crazy, isn't it? Yeah.
And you have this illustrious winning record, and the players that we've talked about before, we're going to talk about some of that too. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
So if you come to me and say, I want to buy a home, the first thing I do is say, okay, let's talk about the process. What can I afford? Not just the purchase price. What kind of lifestyle do you want to have?
Tiffany Hamilton, broker of Eck and Hamilton Realty, talking about the real estate market in Tallahassee.
Right now, for an investor, in my opinion, we should be looking at affordable housing. What that means is a price point of about $100,000 to $200,000 price range. For the investor, it's a rental income between $1,000 and $1,500 a month max.
Realtor, broker, consultant, Tiffany Hamilton is helping home buyers, investors, and other realtors achieve their individual goals.
Hi, I'm Tiffany Hamilton. Investing in real estate or buying a home has never been more challenging. Even finding solid information you can trust can also be a challenge. That's exactly why I began my career nearly 15 years ago, to help buyers and sellers overcome those challenges. As a broker, as a realtor, or a consultant, if I can help you achieve your goals, it would be my pleasure.
Call 850-366-8433 or online at tiffanyhamilton.com.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Sue Semrau. Wanted to ask you, who was your fifth grade teacher at Brookside Elementary? Was it Miss Teal?
No.
No. Did you have...
Man, you're taking me back. I don't think I can do that.
Oh, well, gosh. These people are etched in my mind.
Yeah, I have the earlier
Mr. Treger? Mr. Treger? Did
no.
you have Treger?
Uh-uh.
Well, that's no fun. What about, okay, well, let's talk about Morgan.
Okay.
Morgan Junior High School, then known as Junior High.
How about Al Kovats?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, he was the soccer coach, wasn't he?
He was a soccer coach, yeah. One of my
favorites. I was the kid that he picked up off the floor when I broke my ankle.
Oh, big time.
Oh, man. He was like at the end of the hall, and I went down in a pile, and I heard the snap, you know, and like, this is not good. And I hear this booming voice say, "Don't move!" And he comes running down and he grabs me, brings me up. So anyway, broke my ankle.
Perfect.
Middle school, high school experiences for kids these days. We're talking a little bit about how much physical education has changed, how much, we'll call it, athletics in general has changed. A lot of that moving away from school programs into after-school programs, private clubs and such. I have this idea, and I want to bounce it off you, that in the course of that, with our compulsion to constantly look for the best, to push forward, to be the champion, to be number one at everything, right?
Right.
So the joy of the enterprise, the sheer joy of the game, goes away or is diminished in some fashion, and that bothers me. I think, heck, you know, like I said, I was never going to be an athlete, but I loved kicking that soccer ball, and I loved playing softball, and it never occurred to me that because I wasn't the best that I shouldn't keep going, couldn't go on trying to do that. I don't want to stretch this too far, but I think in the world that you live, and you live it every day, 24/7, the pressure that we place on you to deliver that winning performance has to be enormous.
You know, I don't think it's any bigger than the pressure we put on ourselves. And it
anywhere else in our lives.
Huh? You know, I think
in business, in family.
Absolutely. You know. And again, if you want to strive for excellence, it's then the outcome is winning. Mm-hmm. And you can't just try to seek that win. It's got to be the development of what it takes to be a winner.
To make that.
And if our focus is there, then the outcome is
so
takes care of itself.
So that says that the joy, if there's joy in this, is in the process.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No question. You know, we go out and every year we'll cast a vision with our kids and we'll cast it over and over. But then we don't just cast a vision, we develop a plan. Huh. And we're very clear about what the plan will be in order to attain the vision. And then ultimately the most important thing we do is celebrate all those little successes along the way. I mean, we're not going to celebrate just winning a national championship. We're going to celebrate the kid that gets an A in a class. That's a huge part of it.
Yeah,
we're
going
to celebrate the pass that led to the pass that led to the basket.
Yeah.
And if we don't do that, then It is. It's just no fun.
It's incremental. Mm-hmm. Now, that's an interesting point, because I've seen that we kind of translate this into, and you say the pressure that we all put on ourselves in whatever part of life we're talking about, in families, where parents take opportunity to celebrate even the smallest of moments, right? And it isn't necessarily performance-based.
Right, right. And I think that's where the imbalance comes in. When the world is telling us it's never good enough, it's never good enough, it's never good enough, then we're not looking at the smallest of increments that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And so this piece was good enough. This one might not have been. And we don't want to then go the opposite direction and say, well, everything's good enough. Everyone's a winner.
Right.
Because that's not truth either.
Yeah. And there's a lot of that out there.
There is a lot of that.
Yeah. Right. Johnny, you're the last loser.
Exactly.
Or the first loser or something. We try to make sure that everybody's included, apart from whether or not they've actually given it their all.
Right.
And or if they have demonstrated a kind of excellence among us. So there are those who in your world, athletically, women who have come to the game either as players or coaches, or some players who've gone on to be coaches, you got to look at their achievement. Mm-hmm. You know, so we talk about Mr. Martin here.
That's right.
Who is now the all-time winningest collegiate NCAA baseball coach.
Yeah.
And when you talk to Tim Linnefeld, talk to people like you, they'll say, yeah, and that's probably never going to be achieved again because how difficult it is to go that far. How many, you know, he's been in the game, I think Tim corrected me, I thought 30. It's been more like 40, almost 40 years that he's been
in. But he's been excellent in every one of those years. And that's what I think we can say, well, he's been in it a long time. The game has changed. But the excellence and perseverance to do something like that amongst all the naysayers, that I think is what makes this absolutely incredible. People will say, but he's never won a college World Series.
I know, like that hangs over his
yeah, head. So what?
It's never good enough,
it's
Mike.
It's never good enough. So, you know, and to endure all that this many years, what an honorable achievement.
It almost begs the question, you know, and would that day come? We certainly hope it would come. You know, what would Mike Martin do? He'd turn around and just kind of
drop the mic.
It's like, no pun intended. Maybe he would just fall over and go, okay, thank you, dear God. I've got that one off my back. But do we do that to him? Does he do that to himself? I think...
All of the above.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of the above. I mean, certainly those of us that live in that world can understand that it is the hardest thing to do. You know, I remember sitting in our athletic training table back when Chris Richt was the quarterback here at Florida State, and ESPN is all on the screens, and the football guys and our women and the men's basketball were sitting in there, and they were just crucifying Chris Ricks up on the TV, and he's sitting there watching it. And I'm thinking, no one that's talking on that television knows what this young man is going through at this period of time.
Yeah.
And the fact that we think that we can do that to young people who aren't getting paid to do this. Yes, they're getting a scholarship. That's great. But it's become a real business.
It's rough. It is rough. And it is business. And that business is driven then, Carl and I were talking earlier about consumerism and a marketplace that is replete with options. And so the competition among these entertainment providers in this entertainment-oriented culture
of
ours.
That's right.
And so, I mean, Sue's out there doing what she knows how to do. These players are doing what they know how to do for the love of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, we expect you to entertain us.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, and a game should be entertaining. You know, I think, too, the Final Four this year was unbelievable. The two women's games that ended on a buzzer beater, you know.
Remarkable.
That's exciting, you know, versus last night's game with the NBA and it was a 20-point blowout, what's more entertaining? Yeah. You know, I think everybody wants to see a great game.
The close win.
You know, but it's it is entertainment.
Some have said that they hate losing more than they love winning.
Oh, that's the truth. Winning's a relief.
Yeah.
It's not, the joy isn't in the winning.
Yeah.
But it is, it's one of those emotions that you get to experience over and over, whether it be winning or losing, that then drives you to a different level.
Yeah. So we're going to get into this a little bit further as we psychoanalyze you here in the last portion of the show. Sue Semerow is our guest this morning. If you haven't already done this, you're going to fall in love with her. I mean, it's just, I have to tell you right up front, you're going to love this person. Because, Sue, you have it all going on. I don't understand. When you go places, do people like want to touch you and shake
stop,
your hand?
Stop, Brian. No. I could ask you the same.
No, I'm nothing.
Whatever.
Well, anyway, I do know how to talk into this microphone sometimes, and that's why I'm here. So you stay with me. More with Sue Semerow. Tallahassee Talks. We'll be right back.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Well, I'm having fun talking with our good friend to so many people, especially to her players, Sue Semerow. You're like a sister, mom, friend.
Started out with sister. I'm now much more mom. In my 20 years,
have
that's
you noticed?
Changed. Yeah.
Dang it. When I think about that, I know that you do have close relationships with, and you've demonstrated that. We've talked about some of the stories, players that you have just cared for at a personal level. One player whose mom was ailing, and all the extra that you did to make sure that as a team, not just you, you bring everybody to that, and you say, hey, we're going to take care of our own here. How far does that go? Do you hang out when you're out going shopping? Are you eating out together? I mean, that's got to be kind of tough to some degree.
Not tough anymore.
No?
It's honestly, in one of the things that I think, you know, God never allowed this perfect guy to come into my life. I mean, I can't find him. I'm looking all over for him. So,
well,
but in the
meantime, I have bad news for you. Okay.
There aren't any.
No, he's there. I think they kidnapped him because they don't want you to leave. That's what it is. It's this vast conspiracy to keep you on our turf.
Oh, you're
isn't
hilarious.
That horrible? That's a terrible thing to say.
Well, it's been able to put me in a position where I can spend a lot of time with this group of young women, my staff. Really pour
they are your
into
family.
That, and they really are my family away from my family.
Back in Seattle.
That's right.
Right.
And so, and I think that it is. It's a lot like family. You know, you see each other sometimes more than others. You get to, but you break bread together. You have hard times together. You have lessons together. You know, yesterday, Amani Wright was drafted to the WNBA and went to training camp, and she made the team last night, and it's a phenomenal achievement for somebody that is a rookie in this league. There are so few spots to make it, and so just the joy and the FaceTime and the that we got to share in that. And then 30 minutes later, the disappointment of Shaquayla Thomas not making her WNBA team. And so, you know, you share in both of that, and I'm so proud of both of them. It doesn't matter, you know, whether one made it or didn't. They're both just really special young women who gave everything they had.
And will go on.
And will go on and continue to play professionally.
And she achieved greatness.
That's right.
And I think they have you to thank in that process.
And I think they have a lot of people to thank. But I do believe that we put them in a position to handle either one. And, you know, I've got so many players that are playing professionally that handle it with grace, with dignity. They don't take it for granted. And I have one on my staff, Brooke Wyckoff, who played 8 years with the WNBA and teaches them what it's like and how hard it is. And then there are those who will realize, you know what, maybe I'm not good enough to continue professionally, but I have an amazing degree from Florida State, and I have a family that's going to help me to move on into something else that's competitive.
The players that played for you years ago, you stay in touch with some?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I bought a house a couple of years ago that's much too big for me because there's so many of them that want to come back and train in the summer. And so
come on in.
It's
you know where to put the towels.
That's right.
And please don't leave your underwear hanging on the shower. I get that. Yeah.
Stay in your space. Yeah, for sure.
So if in fact it's a matter of you having to find some kind of balance there. Right, so you got all that pushing you got to get the job done, but you still want to remain accessible and you still want to have people be able to. I mean, you come and do talk shows with guys like me. How do you maintain that balance? How do you do it?
I think experience has been the best teacher. When I was young, I didn't have balance. I would put my head down and just go until I needed to come up for air. I think, you know, as someone who really believes that God was pretty specific about a day of rest, me and my staff take a day of rest. And so whether it be a Sunday, we got a game, that's not a day of rest.
Mm-mm.
Then it will be the next day that you go and you be...
Yeah.
Normal
take your
people,
Sabbath day.
Take your Sabbath day of rest. Huh. And I don't think that that's a suggestion. I think it's a command. And I think it's what has helped me to endure.
Did you have that sort of orientation growing up? You grew up in a family where faith was a big part of
It was. And
how things work?
You know, I didn't really understand or know the Bible at that time. I went to a Lutheran church that I heard the scripture, but I wasn't necessarily encouraged to study it.
Was that Bethel Lutheran Church?
No, it was Prince of Peace.
Ole Nordsletten.
Ole Nordsletten. Are you kidding me?
Sue.
This is getting scary.
It really is. I mean, see, folks, you have to understand, we're 8 years apart. She's much younger. But we grew up in the same neighborhood, and Prince of Peace Lutheran Church was... they were the bomb.
They were the bomb.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted you. So as a kid and as a family, you come and you have one sister?
One sister. Mm-hmm.
Well, Sue, the time rolls by us here too quickly. I have a million and one things that I want to ask you, but you've been so kind to share this much with us, and I will say, as we look forward now, here we are going into the summer. What lies ahead for you over the next several months? Tell us kind of how that looks.
Yeah, it's a great question. A lot of people think we just get a break, but...
You're not going off for a few months? Just hang out?
Actually,
go
next week for a two-day off-site staff advance. We don't retreat, we advance, and so we're going to do that.
Because you're Seminoles!
That's right! Turn around, I'll go out to the USA Basketball Trials and watch a couple of our players that have already committed to Florida State, and then turn back around and have a Nike obligation and then camp here, and then we'll go out to a lot of different tournaments in the month of July. We've got an opportunity then, once school's out, the summer school's out in August, we're going to take our team to the Dominican Republic and on a service trip and put in water filters for those that just don't have clean water and have an opportunity to serve and to give before we jump into a world where everything's given to us. We want to make sure we have good perspective.
Once again, your faith speaking to you about the needs of others. That is an example right there, and I know you've been involved with this Barefoot Samaritan program.
Samaritan's Feet.
Samaritan's Feet, sorry. So, folks, if you don't know about that, just watch. There will be those games when she's barefoot. It's not because she was in a hurry. She's making you and I aware of the fact that there are children in the world that don't have shoes. And so, this organization then is dedicated to helping supply shoes to needy kids, and you're a part of that.
Yeah,
in fact, they voted you to be like the first woman coach in their history, Coach of the Year, because of your contributions to their efforts. Many ways in which I could say congratulations, Coach.
Thank you.
Great job. Wonderful winning season for you guys and for all that Florida State Athletics brings to us. Thank you. Safe travels in all that lies ahead here in the weeks before you, and much success in the coming year. Another great season.
It's my honor to represent Tallahassee and to be here today.
Florida State women's basketball, legendary under the guidance of this remarkable coach, Sue Semerau, our guest this morning. Thanks for being with me.
Absolutely.
Folks, you stay with me. I've got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So Florida State Athletics these days is all about the winningest college baseball coach of all time, the very talented and enduring, might we say, Coach Mike Martin, now with, 1,976 wins, something in that category. Tim Linnenfeld's here to get me straightened out. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing great, Brian. How are you?
Another edition of the Linnenfeld Sports Report, talking all things FSU sports. Men's baseball has been doing pretty good. And again, this remarkable achievement. What did they say? Mike Martin has been with Florida State Athletics for over 30 years?
A lot more than 30 years.
Yeah.
His first year as the head coach was in 1980.
Ah.
So do some quick math in your head on that one. You're approaching 40 years at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Golly.
Pretty crazy.
Sakes.
Yeah, you brought up that record, and it really is one of the unique things, I think.
Was I right? It was like 1976.
76 was the record. He's since won games since then.
Yeah.
And that's across all levels. Sometimes when you look at the football records, it's the most in college football or major college basketball. But there's nobody. Nobody with more than him.
And I guess everybody says, so when do we get to win the World Series? And I remember Martin saying this one time, you got to keep in mind that with baseball, it can be the difference between one win and one loss.
Mm-hmm.
And, it is that elusive target.
Yeah, no, it's tough. And look, that is part of it. But at the same time, I think that the record can stand in and of itself. Do some math. If you went pushing 2,000 wins, how many do you need a year to reach that many? And then look at the modern landscape. That record's never going to be broken.
Indeed.
Ever. It's just the way modern sports are anymore.
It's the truth.
It just can't happen.
And players keep getting more and more talented. The training methods are more sophisticated, and these recruiting efforts become even more remarkable as you go forward. What do you see happening now going forward, men's baseball? And they've certainly had a good start to the season. you got any prognostications for us?
I don't know about prognostications. It'll be interesting. As I know, today being Saturday, the regular season finale against NC State. First pitch will be in just a little bit here. Yeah. And so then it's off to the ACC tournament and the NCAA tournament. And, you know, what's interesting to me is if you look at traditionally Florida State, traditionally maybe not the word, but in the last little while, the Florida State has often used the ACC baseball tournament as kind of a springboard into the national tournament. Indeed. You know, around this time last season, things weren't going so hot, and then they caught fire, and then on the last weekend of the regular season, and then went up to the ACC tournament and used that as a run into to Omaha. I think that they could certainly make a run. Look, lesser programs, less accomplished programs that have gone to Omaha and won, and I think it shows you just the randomness of it.
It is volatile.
You catch it at the right time, and so. I think this Florida State team is better than some teams that have gone and won the College World Series. So first thing, you got to get there.
So you got to maximize talent, your opportunity. You got to have the coaching, and then you just have to have the ball go in the right place.
When you hit the ball really hard, it has to hit the ground and not land in somebody's glove.
There's so many physics involved that are well beyond your control. What do they say that hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do in sports?
Maybe
golf is right in there with them. But
yeah, that's a tough one,
golly.
Too. But it is really difficult. And the problem, I kind of alluded to a second ago, is you can do everything absolutely right, and it still not go your way. There's still no guarantees.
Didn't happen to go. How about women's softball? They've been doing quite well.
Yeah, it's now sixth straight ACC title. I can't remember if it's five or six, but whatever it is, they're without a doubt, the premier program in the Atlantic Coast Conference, won a sixth seed in the NCAA tournament, and I don't know if you got to see they were down 4-1 in the bottom of the seventh inning against Pittsburgh last week. And you almost felt just a tinge of sadness for Pitt there, because if you win that tournament, you get into the NCAA tournament guaranteed. And they won and they were really close, they would have made that NCAA tournament appearance.
Florida State
wins
shut the door.
And Pitt season is over. That's a tough way to go out. But what do they say? If you want to beat the champs, you got to knock them out.
Yeah. When you think about how much college athletics has changed, but also the pressure that is on young players who come into a collegiate program, and the notion that they can simply go out there and do what the umpire says to do, play ball, it just doesn't happen quite that way. And I think that you're one of those folks that, at least in my hearing, has kept us remembering that, wait a minute, guys, it's still college and it's still a sport. It's supposed to be fun.
Sometimes.
Somewhere, right? Somewhere in the mix.
Right, right.
Do you feel like players, it seems like Mike Martin's teams have carried that with them, and I'm looking forward to Florida State football in the opening of the season to see whether or not this kind of attitudinal shift, we'll call it, this mentality that, hey guys, it's a ball game, let's have fun, let's hang together, let's be a team, let's go out there and enjoy ourselves doing what we do best. I think Mike Martin has kept that alive. I watched his players gather around him the night of that. Oh my God, 13 innings was
it? Yeah, yeah. They earned that one, didn't they?
But against Clemson, but they really love this guy.
Yeah, and I think the thing to keep in mind, and the question you should be asking, you mentioned the football program, and it's something that the Willie Taggart, the new head coach there, I think prescribes to, is that players perform better or are capable of performing better when they're at ease and they're not putting as much pressure on themselves. Not to say that the sports there is pressure involved and it's high level competition and everything that goes along with it. But when you get to the level of an athlete at a Florida State or a Clemson or Florida or wherever, you're good. You know what I mean? You're a good player.
To be there to begin with.
Sure, exactly. And so I think the idea is, hey, relax, take a breath. You belong here. You can do this. And let's just put you in position to do what you know you can do. And when you express that type of confidence, it leads to being able to, maybe enjoy yourself a little bit more and relax a little bit more.
Right.
And then, not sort of buckle under any type of self-imposed pressure.
Yeah.
And then just go out and do what you have been able to do your whole life.
Word is that with Coach Taggart's arrival, that kind of relaxed or more relaxed attitude, maybe even a kind of mindset atmosphere
has pervaded the halls of Florida State Athletics.
You know,
than its predecessor.
He probably would take exception to the word relax, if only because he's really into speed and
intense,
pace and quickness. But I think his philosophy, for football and you know how it's best approached.
Maybe I should say
it certainly is different.
Antagonistic.
That's probably fair. But you know, you take it back. You know, one of the big storylines of all silly things at spring football was the idea of music playing at practice, and they'd always play it loud and get a beat going and kind of get players into a rhythm.
Yeah.
And he said he liked it. The players said they liked it, and I thought that was kind of an interesting insight. You know, one of the players said that on the second or third day of practice, he said this feels like high school again. And he meant it in a good way. Uh-huh. He's like, this feels like playing football back when I was doing it, just because it's something that I wanted to do,
really
not because it was a means to an end or not because it was.
And then Taggart, you mentioned that spring game. He's taken laps.
Yeah,
he went all the way around that stadium, shaking hands.
Yeah.
And slapping hands and really connecting with the fans. Remarkable.
That's pretty cool.
Well, folks, this is why we like Tim to come in and keep us on the straight and narrow. We're going to stay in touch with you as we go forward now through the summer.
Sounds great.
We're going to be preparing. We want to see what happens, of course, with Florida State men's baseball, and then we'll be looking further down the road at Florida State football. Come back to us when you get a moment.
You got it. I'll be here.
Tim Linnefelt, my friends, he is the one and the only author and substantiator of the Tim Linnefelt Sports Report, courtesy of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. You stay with me. I've got more.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. And I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
The Tallahassee Songwriters Festival is coming up tomorrow afternoon. Tallahassee Museum from 2 to 5. Let me tell you, folks, if you've got anything else planned for tomorrow afternoon, just cancel it. Just don't do it. Go do this. Tallahassee Songwriters Festival, Rockin' Country Blues with Jason Bird, Brett Wellman, Drew Tillman, the great one. He's here. This guy is tireless. He just keeps going, dragging his little guitar behind him, trying to do the best he can. Sorry, but he's here. He's here this morning. I don't know what's wrong with me. Don't ask.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's been this way a while. Right. Drew Tillman, how are you, friend?
I am doing great, Brian. I feel
fantastic. Huh?
Fantastic, and I'm really excited about the festival, and
it's
about bringing the writers here.
Now, everybody knows this about you, I have to say, that you would not be here, nor would I, were it not for the fact that we have spouses who have kept us out of the hospital, out of jail.
That's right.
Sometimes employed. So we have Amelia Tillman, who is here with us as well. My dear friend Amelia, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
And she is the real brains of the outfit, if I may say that.
She is till management.
She is till management.
I'm an employee.
You're just the eye candy, man.
Yes, they are.
I get it. I'm right there with you. So we have till management, Tallahassee Museum presenting this festival now. This is the fourth annual, right?
That's right.
And in doing it all of these now 4 years, I think you've said there is no want for songwriter, performer talent. I mean, we're replete with people like Jason Bird and yourself and
local.
Brett Wellman.
Local.
All local.
That's right.
Who come to us with this ability to
set us straight about what Tallahassee brings to the world musically. Now, Amelia, your company and your personal efforts for many years have been aimed at helping local artists. Yeah, I know you book for a lot of these folks and you do some artist management. Tell us a little bit about Till Management, what you do.
Well, Till Management started out actually booking Drew to make sure he was working and getting out of getting into some new venues
and
out of town.
Staying out of jail.
Staying out of jail and getting paid to stay out of jail.
I'm just saying. Hey, no shame, brother. I'm totally there, bro.
It's
I mean,
deadbeat dad thing. I'll never outlive it, you know?
Come on, now. Your kids are awesome. Or is that all on Amelia, too? Is
she,
I see.
Much.
Okay,
yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
So, but then before you got doing this with Drew, did you always have a kind of leaning towards music and artists, musical artists and
I've
such?
Always been involved in music. I play myself,
although
I don't do this kind of music, but I've always loved it, and I love original music because you're actually hearing the story behind the song, and all songs were original at one time before they became top 40 hits.
Indeed.
So Drew was a writer, and he had put out a couple, oh my gosh, I hate to say, tapes, CDs, and then we got him into the 30A Singer-Songwriter Festival.
Right.
And every time I went and I saw these writers from all over the United States and also overseas, I thought, why can't we do this? Why can't we do this in Tallahassee? And so we started thinking, how can we put this together?
Right.
And we thought, well, let's just try. And we our first one was held at the Front Porch, now known as Table 23. And we had two writers from Nashville.
Right.
We had one guy, Neil.
Neil Alday
was there, and Drew. So we had four.
What I like is that Neil is still one of my Facebook friends to this day, because I was at that first one there.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you were. You were our MC.
I was the MC for the day, and I remember the restaurant compensating me in. Food.
Beer?
Yeah, no, I wasn't drinking then. It was
yes.
But it seems to me there were hot hors d'oeuvres involved somewhere in there. But in any case,
the
music was great.
And the Front Porch was kind of hesitant to do it, but they said, okay, we'll do it, but we have to make a certain amount of money. Well, I think they made about 5-6 times that much money, you know,
that they would normally do on a Sunday afternoon kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right, from people coming in just to eat and drink.
Right.
And so then.
I was probably responsible for half of that, saying.
No?
No.
I wasn't going to go there.
Oh, sorry.
And then I don't know whether they closed or they didn't want to do it again. So we hit up Russell Dawes and Amber out at the Tallahassee Museum.
Right.
They liked the idea, and so we started down that path with them, and they've been an awesome host for this.
They really are good folks, and the museum itself seems to me a suitable, perhaps a more fitting setting for this.
It is.
Because they do a lot of this sort of thing. They have the other festivals that they do. Mm-hmm. And
It's a beautiful venue, and it's outside, and people sit there and enjoy it. And they can bring their families. If the kids don't want to sit there, they can go on the playground.
Yeah.
They can do the nature trails. They can get something to eat.
Tree-to-tree thing.
They can do the zip line thing.
Right.
So it's not just sitting there and watching this. You can do other things and make a whole day of it.
There's a lot of talk these days about how the music scene, and Drew, you and I have had this conversation repeatedly, is changing. And one of those changes is to recognize that the local musician not only is talented, not only is worthy of a good listen, she is also worthy of being paid. And so the idea of local venues paying musicians, surprisingly to some, is actually a relatively new thing. And there's still some pushback on that. It's tough for you guys to make a living doing this in Tallahassee, anyway.
It's changing, but I will tell you that the geography right now is that we get less money than going out of town.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be like that, because the talent, I can go over and play in Destin, but I cannot find the same talent that I find in Tallahassee.
Interesting.
I mean, there's some great, don't get me wrong, there's some great musicians in Destin.
Sure.
But they're not known for original music. Here, you have a lot of it.
Right.
And yes, paying is a good thing, but if I did this for money, I'd have quit.
Well, that's why we have Amelia. She's yes. making sure
she
that...
She makes sure that I get...
You get something out of the deal.
And the organization yeah. that she has done and the things that she's done, I will just tell you that for the first year until management, she did not get paid. Hmm. The love
yep.
of music...
Yeah.
And her drive was the love of music. And she would come home and she'd go, why can't we?
Yeah.
Why can't we have...
Just go do it.
And do it. So. Yeah.
So it's called the Tallahassee Songwriters Festival tomorrow afternoon from 2 to 5. Till Management and Tallahassee Museum presenting Rockin' Country Blues. Jason Bird, Brett Wellman will be there, and our guest, Drew Tillman, along with the very lovely Amelia Tillman. They're our guests. You stay with me. We've got more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Whidden Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Whidden Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Whidden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Whidden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Whidden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're talking with Amelia Tillman, Drew Tillman. They've got this little thing called Tallahassee Songwriters Festival, Rockin' Country Blues. Lots of folks have thrown down with this, including the Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association, and let's see, the Wine Loft, and you got Visit Tallahassee and COCA, Staybridge. The Democrat. Staybridge, and all these different companies came together. Apparently, they believe, as you do, that promoting local musicians, local music, is a good idea, especially songwriters, right? So there are performers, and you said this, Drew, that you can be a great performer, but to be a songwriter, it's a different skill set, of course.
It is.
So, Todd, you've done a fair amount of this in your own career.
What?
How does it happen? For
probably you? 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and or maybe longer, I'm not sure, but I changed to... My direction is songwriting. Mm. And so when I go out and I play gigs, paying gigs, I'm always playing my own music. I play others, covers, songs, but for the most part, I emphasize those. And the other day, I'll just give you an indication. I was playing in Tallahassee, and I started playing, and I played three cover songs. Mm. And the audience was just kind of, they were clapping, but not excited like I like to get them. Mm. And then I said, oh, well, what the heck? I'm going to play my own music. Mm. And so I played my own music, and the audience came alive. Mm. And I even said over, I said, you know, I should listen to my heart more often. Mm-hmm. And it's true. And if these artists here in town are given this chance to and see the feedback from people in Tallahassee, mm-hmm. great people, mm-hmm. it's going to create this excitement. It's going to create more awareness of what talent we have here.
I'm going to do this with you right now. We had the pleasure, and it was a pleasure, to have you with us last Saturday when we were at Gain Street Pies, and you debuted this song.
Yes.
And we recorded that entire show. So what I'm going to do at the moment is I'm going to ask Carl to play for us that recording of you performing this song called
The Addict.
The Addict.
Song of Need.
Yeah. great example of a songwriter putting his heart and soul out there for the rest of us. Listen to this song, folks, and find out what kind of songwriter we have here with Drew Tillman.
Nothing to lose. Broke down in traces somewhere in your mind. Look for the pieces from a love you cannot find. Love you cannot find. Love you cannot find. Cannot. Christmas in prison, and he waits for you. Late at night you can feel it as it cuts right through. And you reach to touch it like a mojo drug. When the tears are falling in the hole you dug. All the traces somewhere in your mind. Broke down in pieces from a love you cannot find. Love you cannot find. Love you cannot find. Love you cannot find. Cannot, cannot. You reach for heaven. You in his arms. Chains, they seem to hold us, never do us harm. Never do us, they never do us harm. Yeah, the bells are ringing from indeed tonight. From that prison on the darker side. You can't beg for forgiveness from a whiskey still, but you shake that thing, it won't cure your ills. Broke down in pieces somewhere in your mind. Traces from a love you cannot find. Love you cannot find. Love you cannot find. Love you cannot find. You reach to find it. You reach to find it. You reach to find it.
Drew Tillman, the great one, with The Addict, and a great song that it is. And when you're putting together a song like The Addict, I know you well enough to know that in your heart, you're thinking about that one person that you can identify with, because you can look at that person and say, hey, I know exactly where you're at.
And we have a close family friend that's going through a difficult time with this. And so I know exactly, and I imagine in my mind, you know, how do you come out of this? How do you come out of this addiction? How do you stay positive? Well, it's by the grace of God, and there go I.
And so here we have the two of you, husband and wife, raising a family, doing this business, you doing your business, and yet trying to make all that work at the same time in this lovely modern world that we're all a part of, invaded constantly with all kinds of influences that may not agree with how we want to live or what we believe in.
I talk too much. She doesn't talk, but she just lives it. And I marvel at my wife that she...
Well, you're saying that now that she's sitting here.
Well, no. I mean it. And I really do. And I'll tell you, you know, when you have the right partner, they make you, they help you be a better person.
Amen to that, brother. You know, man.
And so...
Thank you. Folks, this is the best part of my job, having people like Amelia and Drew Tillman here. Till Management, Tallahassee Museum, putting together this marvelous gift. Tallahassee Songwriters Festival coming up tomorrow afternoon, 2 to 5. Rockin' Country Blues, Jason Bird, Brett Wellman, Drew Tillman. Just do this. Please give yourself a gift. And by the way, your admission is free if you're a member at Tallahassee Museum. Or when you buy your ticket, you have full access to everything the museum offers, including this very special festival, Tallahassee Songwriters Festival. You stay with me.
I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week, because though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best. And I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio. And you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Amelia Tillman, Drew Tillman, Tallahassee Songwriters Festival, coming up tomorrow afternoon, 2 to 5, Tallahassee Museum. Brought to you in part by, let's see, who do we have? Got all kinds of people involved with this. Of course, Till Management, that's Amelia's company, and does this remarkable job of promoting music, local musicians, especially songwriters and performers, of course. But we see, we've got, we mentioned Staybridge, and looks like we've got Doc Myers, right?
Doc Myers,
yeah.
St. George Gandy. Island, what a great, great place.
There you go. Gandy Printers is involved, the Wine Loft. I'm trying to read from this. Let's see, what is this? Boss Furniture Consignment?
Bose.
Oh, okay.
Bose Furniture Consignment.
Marie Maddox.
Right.
Marie Maddox.
Marie Maddox, excellent. Okay.
FRLA. Visit Florida.
Cocoa.
You know what? It's the family coming together, isn't it? What else needs to happen, do you think, for Tallahassee's music community to advance, to grow up? I mean, Amelia, you could probably speak to that pretty strongly.
I would say that if more venues around town would be accepting of original music, and a lot of them say, I only want you to come in and play covers because people are happier when they hear music they recognize, and that's fine, but maybe some of these could open up to host some original music or have an original music night, or, you know, invite these songwriters in and say, it's, you know, yeah, play your own music, you know, or instead of like a lot of these original songs, the story other people can relate to, like The Attic, or last year Daphne did a song called Somebody's you're somebody, someone. And that's about the same topic about addiction and losing somebody to that. And people were crying out in the audience, crying because they're like, you know, connecting. They could feel what she was saying. Connecting.
And I would say this, that the first time I met Jason was at a club here in town. And he stood in the back, and the place was rocking, and I was singing. And he came up and introduced himself. And he plays a completely different genre.
Yeah, he's the country, guy, right? Mm-hmm.
And yet he recognized, as I do, music, regardless of what genre, it tells a story, touches the heart, changes lives.
Yeah.
And I hope that when people come out and see this, they'll they'll be changed, that live in the moment will happen. And it has. I can't tell you, one of the greatest compliments you can get is someone with tears in their eyes, you know, listening, because they're connecting with that music. I don't mind dancing either. You know, dancing is good.
Or they ask you to play an original song and they go, who wrote that? Who wrote that? Well, I did.
I wrote that
song. And that was a reminder. I played a great cover song and I got good response. But again, just last night, I played original music, and that's what ignited the crowd.
Yeah.
And so I think they connect.
Yep.
They don't, in many people do not want to hear what they've already heard.
It's scary to step out on stage and play your own song, whereas if you step out on stage and play, you know, some cover song that everybody in the world knows, it's like, oh, we all know this. But to play your own song, that's the harder road to go.
When you I know you've done a lot of shows at the American Legion Hall. It's been a great, and that is a good venue, because it's got that little stage. It's big enough that you can have maybe 300 people in there.
Sure.
Whatever fire marshal will let you do. But then again, it's intimate. It's not so distanced from the audience that you're like, you know, 150 feet away. You're right there with these people. I've been at those shows, especially when you're doing the 911 reunion tour kind of thing. People absolutely go berserk, and that's a venue that you know, is ready made for people to get up and dance. And it's a remark. In fact, my son Morgan played there on one occasion when he was still living in Tallahassee, and I'll never forget it. Jim Roche went into this remarkable dance during one of Morgan's songs. Many of you know Jim from his days at Florida State University, accomplished artist nationally, worldwide, lives here in Tallahassee, and his wife, she an artist in her own right. But he's doing this dance, and it inspired Morgan, who later went on, who is also a visual artist, and did this painting actually, of this young child in this wild dance, and that was the inspiration.
That's neat.
I wonder whether, I mean, in your music, a lot of this comes out of your inspiration comes out of your own life story, right? The things that you've walked through, your friends have walked through. Do you ever find yourself inspired by other sources, where, you know, maybe it is a piece of art, or is it
absolutely
a story in the newspaper or something like
that? A story in the newspaper, a painting, an artist rendering. Sometimes I will sit, you know, if I sit in a restaurant and I overhear a conversation, and I catch snippets here and there. And I look over there, there was one, and somebody was crying, and I knew they were just in terrible distress, and they were talking to their friend, their best friend, and I just will make up a story, you know, in my mind.
As to what's going on.
Because sadness and, you know, getting through something, you know, if you talk about it, you know, and I've written songs. I mean, you know, cry yourself a river. I wrote it because people were going to psychiatrists and doctors and lawyers, whatever. And they were looking to medicine or mm-hmm. this or that mm-hmm. when they can sit down just like Tallahassee Talks mm. and talk
just
to the art to mm-hmm. someone and say, you know, I'm hurting.
Yeah.
And here I am, and yeah. this is what I'm going through. And what's amazing mm-hmm. is that 10 out of 10 times, the mm-hmm. person sitting there listening to you is mm-hmm. going to have a similar experience. Mm-hmm. We share mm-hmm. this sadness, but we yep. also share the joy.
You and I sat there at Bob Jennings' funeral, and yeah. We had one of those close moments, didn't we? Yeah. And they played Drew's song yeah. we had sent over for that day. That was a great moment. Folks, it's what music does for us. It does bring us together, and it is healing. It's enlightening. It's motivating. It's directing. And it's happening at the Tallahassee Museum tomorrow afternoon, Tallahassee Songwriters Festival from 2 to 5. You don't want to miss this. Some of Tallahassee's very best. Jason Bird, Brett Wellman, Drew Tillman in performance. Give yourself a gift and go and buy the ticket. Enjoy the afternoon. And it's all courtesy of Tillman Management and Tallahassee Museum and all of their many fine sponsors. If you want information, you can go to TallahasseeMuseum.org or you can call for tickets and other information, 575-8684. Amelia Tillman, Drew Tillman, our guests here this morning. Thanks for being with us, my friends.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us and forward. Helping us with this event.
It's a pleasure. Folks, that's what I have for you here today. We are the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment coming to you from the luxurious studios of Moose Magnificat right here in Tallahassee. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
So if you come to me and say, I want to buy a home, the first thing I do is say, okay, let's talk about the process. What can I afford? Not just the purchase price. What kind of lifestyle do you want to have?
Tiffany Hamilton, broker of Eck & Hamilton Realty, talking about the real estate market in Tallahassee.
Right now, for an investor, in my opinion, we should be looking at affordable housing. What that means is a price point of about $100,000 to $200,000 price range. For the investor, it's a rental income between $1,000 and $1,500 a month max.
Realtor, broker, consultant, Tiffany Hamilton is helping home buyers, investors, and other realtors achieve their individual goals.
Hi, I'm Tiffany Hamilton. Investing in real estate or buying a home has never been more challenging. Even finding solid information you can trust can also be a challenge. That's exactly why I began my career nearly 15 years ago, to help buyers and sellers overcome those challenges. As a broker, as a realtor, or a consultant, if I can help you achieve your goals, it would be my pleasure.
Call 850-366-8433 or online at TiffanyHamilton.com.